One in 10 children in the United States will be sexually abused before they turn 18 years old. And it can happen to anyone. And as adults, we are responsible for the well-being and the protection of the children in our care. More than 80% of child sexual abuse incidents happen when children are in an isolated, one-on-one situation with adults or another youth. About 400,000 children in the United States are sexually abused every year. And to truly change this statistic, we really must first recognize how pervasive this is. That's where the Stewards of Children program comes in. It's a training that raises awareness about the prevalence and the consequences of child sexual abuse by educating adults to prevent and recognize what this abuse is. Joining me today to talk more about this is Sherry Iverson. She is the Director of Advocacy and Community Education at St. Luke's Children's Hospital, and Roger Sherman with the Idaho Children's Trust Fund. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
First question, can you explain exactly what the Stewards of Children training is? Because this is a nationwide training, correct, that's recently come to Idaho.
So there's an organization in South Carolina called Darkness to Light, which started this program there after some really horrendous incident, and then have helped to promote that around the country. And the program really teaches people five steps. We talk about just learn the facts, minimize the opportunity, talk about it, recognize the signs, and react responsibly.
And when we say learn the facts, is that kind of like how often this happens? How, you know, that one in 10 children, are those the facts we're talking about?
I think those are the facts. But I think some things that are really surprising when I take the program out and I'm one of Roger's facilitators is that we do a good job of stranger danger rules. You know, in fact, there's even books like, you know, Don't Open the Door and mm-hmm. Stranger Dangers. And if you go out and talk to kids, strangers are people with beards and trench coats in a van. I think the fact that's very surprising is 90% of the offenders, the family knows and the child knows. And so it is a very different conversation when we talk about leaving children alone and asking the hard questions and boundaries when it's someone in your family or someone in your friends group versus that protection of that stranger danger who's walking down on the green belt.
So speaking of that, then, how do we have that conversation, especially age appropriate, with our children, no matter who they're with?
So this is a program that focuses a lot on training adults. I mean, what we're really interested in, we believe that that adults need to protect children from sexual abuse mm-hmm. and that they can do that through minimizing opportunity by increasing the amount we talk about it. This is something that occurs really because of secrecy. The perpetrator is always trying to keep somebody from talking, to keep that child from talking about it. And we need to create the opportunities or limit the opportunities that someone has access to that person.
So when you do the training, then what are some of the things that you say to adults? Because this is open to anyone,
right,
any adult. Any adult can take this
absolutely.
Training. But because I know, I mean, I have young children, and I always think sometimes maybe I'm a little, like, you know, too intense, but we in our family have talked about, like, you have private areas,
right?
No one is allowed to touch them. Doesn't matter who it is, and if they even say it's a secret, you come and tell mommy and daddy. I mean, we have those conversations.
Yes.
I think a lot of it is because when you're in the news business, you hear bad things right. and you see bad things, but a lot of people don't live in that life.
They don't. And I think it goes, and it starts there, and it's labeling body parts correctly. That's a really important component. And we talk about no secrets, which is a great thing you're doing. We have surprises in families. Those everybody gets to know about soon. It's a birthday cake, but not secrets. But, you know, it's the hard questions. I remember moving into the neighborhood, and I said, what about hiring someone to teach piano lessons? And everybody was like, one name. And it was when I went to interview, no parent could be in the house during piano lessons. You are not allowed to come in and watch with your child. Only one child could be at a time. There were all these kinds of rules that, as someone who goes through Stewards of Children, you're like, wait a minute, that's my responsibility. Let me ask the hard questions. So can two children take a lesson together? Can I sit and listen and watch? Why can we do it at our house? Those are the boundaries and rules mm-hmm. that we as parents and families can make sure that kids are not alone. Not that this teacher had any other alternatives, but those are the hard questions, which I find parents go, oh, I got to ask about camp or who's at the right. Sunday school daycare, or what if it's a 17-year-old and they're the only ones in a camp cabin, if I ask those hard questions, what are they going to think of me? And that's what we really work on during that training, is helping people figure out the tough questions and setting the boundaries for you and your family.
We have to make this discussion a lot less awkward. And that's part of the whole thing about learning about it. We've trained now over 17,000 people statewide in this program. And the focus really is about trying to get people to talk about it and for it to be less awkward for groups so that you can go to your, if someone's going to sleep over at, you know, if your kid's going to sleep over at your friend's house, can you ask that question? What's, you know, what's a 15-year-old doing, to, you know, this afternoon? Or what's, you know, various kinds of questions about just, you know, general safety things that people start to think you're accusing them of something. We want people to understand what we understand, which is that, you know, this is something that occurs. We can minimize that opportunity simply by, you know, keeping doors open, doing some of the things that Sherry talked about.
Talking about it.
About it. And we say talk about it, talk about it, talk about it is really critical to us being able to do it. Like you say, you're in the news business. That might be something that comes up for you. For a lot of people, obviously, that doesn't come up.
And I come from a family that overshares. So, you know, that leads into it.
Not a bad thing in this case. Right. I don't know what the other stuff.
Yeah, right.
We're speaking with Sherry Iverson, the Director of Advocacy and Community Education at St. Luke's Children's Hospital, and Roger Sherman with Idaho Children's Trust Foundation. We're talking about child sexual abuse, how prevalent it is, but also a program called Stewards of Children that is training that is statewide now. Correct, Roger?
Correct. So we have trainers from, I like to say, from Sandpoint to Salmon.
You don't have to be in the medical profession, right? This is open to anyone, parents, grandparents, babysitters. I mean, how do people find out about this? How do they know where to get the training?
The more the better, and the different groups and who can talk to who. I mean, it's nice to have nurses and doctors and people who do the program. But frankly, most of our people are not that. They're people who work in, you know, all kinds of different professions, many service providers and others. People work for domestic violence programs. People who are really just citizens on the street concerned about it, parents, you know, others. The best way to do it, Idaho Children's Trust Fund website is at idahochildrenstrustfund.org, and you can get information about it there. Darkness to Light has a great website, and it shows our state stuff as well, and that's another place where you can get contact information.
And we'll make sure we put all of that on our website
and
as well.
And that's at d2l.org.
And Sherry, you know, I think there was a good thing, interesting thing came up about things like, you know, sleepovers. That's a big thing in our house right now, right? Kids want to have these sleepovers.
They want to have sleepovers.
And I tell you, and it's one of those things where how as a parent do you set those boundaries?
Well, first, I think you have to be real honest with yourself as a family and say, okay, what am I really going to say for my boundaries? I was a no sleepover kind of family. Mm-hmm. I just felt like there was so many things that are uncertain. But you can ask questions like, who's going to be in the house? If you're leaving, do you have a, you know, is a babysitter going to stay? Is there any other relatives? You know, can I stop over? Can I bring popcorn at 11 o'clock at night? I mean, you just try to make sure that they get the idea and bring them in saying, you know, really honest, if it's a great friend for a sleepover, you know, I am concerned. I guess we try to help parents think about all those questions. Like I'm going to ask, is the pool's locked?
Right.
Because I don't want any age kid to be in a pool without supervision. I'm probably going to ask, do you have a gun? Because I'm real concerned. And I'm going to ask, is there anybody in the house that you don't know or you would feel uncomfortable with and that would be worried about my kid's safety? It's being a parent. Those are hard questions. But kids need us to ask those. And that includes like child care providers, babysitters, sleepovers, camp, all those places. It's isolating. And if the more we make sure there's no isolating kinds of circumstances, the better off kids are going to be able to not have to deal with this.
And how does Idaho compare to other states?
You know, we're not sure we know exactly. We just know that it's as prevalent here, certainly as it is prevalent in other places. We will get some more data coming up this next year because the state is doing some surveying on abuse and neglect, which will give us some more information. But reports are notoriously underreported, so we don't see the kind of thing. You know, so we won't know based on reports how much there is. But
and when you said the training, you said 17,000 people statewide that you've trained.
Yes, over 17,000.
So with that training, I mean, and you know, you may not have specific, you know, data, but you have to have heard stories about if this is working or not working.
Well, I happened to do some training with some of the volunteers who do some school programs. And I think every one of them have come and said that they've been in a circumstance where they felt very uncomfortable. They were left alone with a child and everybody else left and the parents weren't going to be there for 20 or 30 minutes. And they were even asking, like, how do I make sure that I'm safe? And how do I give that idea that your child is safe with me? So from that perspective, I think that's a really strong program if you're involved in youth activities. And they've all felt really good that, oh, that's a great idea. We have the child call the parent and we talk on the phone until they get there. Can I go into the school where there's other people around and we wait there? So it's empowering not only for your own self and your own children, but I really think it's empowering for everybody who's in the state. And if you're around with kids, how do we all work together? And I think that's the best part of the program.
The Boise School District is training all of its coaches and all the music program instructors, mm-hmm. their custodians as well, mm-hmm. people who are around after school. And then they're doing their new hires and other people. So they're making that a mandatory part of their professional development and just safety programming.
And that's a really great point, because you also want these adults, as you said, Sherry, who are around children, mm-hmm. to know what to do and to feel safe and to be able to use the proper verbiage and say, okay, you know what, let's go somewhere where there's other people,
right?
Or talk to mom and dad, something
and
like that.
I think one of the things that's also surprising in the training is that people are looking for some evidence of child sexual abuse. You're not going to see that. You know, even healthcare providers do not see sometimes physical. But you see children like not wanting to go someplace, or they've been really comfortable and they're uncomfortable with a certain person, or maybe they grades drop, or they become withdrawn, or even as teenagers, they start to think about risky behavior. We need to have that on our radar screen. You know, what else is going wrong that might be this is the way they're manifesting, that they are a victim of sexual abuse, and that's an opportunity to talk, and that it's not just, oh, if I don't see something physical, I'm not going to worry about it.
Well, what a good program to be able to give adults the ability to have these conversations. Because as you said, I think it's really uncomfortable, but it's necessary.
Yes.
So to be able to go through a training program that allows you to you know, check all of those things off the box and know how to talk about this first and foremost is really important. So I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
My guests today have been Sherry Iverson, the Director of Advocacy and Community Education at St. Luke's Children's Hospital, and Roger Sherman with the Idaho Children's Trust Fund. We've been talking about Stewards of Children training. We will, of course, put all of that information up on our website if you are interested in getting a training done.